Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. I am back home from my 33 days on the road, and I'm back in beautiful Bulkley Valley, northern British Columbia. And I'm here today with a repeat guest. Barry's been on our show before. Welcome, Barry. Thank you for joining us today, taking the time to be with us again.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I always enjoy my conversations with you.
Excellent. So for those who may not have heard previous interviews with Barry, Barry Neufeld is a battle-scarred veteran of the culture wars, the battle for the hearts and minds of your children, Canada's youth. And I'm going to quickly review a few highlights of Barry's vast range of experience, and then we'll get right to the issues. Barry was a trustee with the Chilliwack Board of Education for 27 years. And before that, he was in retail merchandising for 6 years, investment sales for 6 years. He was a correctional officer, a probation officer, and family court mediator under the BC Ministry of the Solicitor General for 16 years. He was a youth probation officer with the BC Ministry of Children and Families for 6 years, and a restorative justice facilitator with the BC Ministry for Children and Family Development 6 years. I don't think you could be, I don't know how you could get all that done in your lifetime, Barry, but that's a list of accomplishments and responsible positions Barry has held. And Barry's done many other things. Most notably, he's been an outspoken critic of our increasingly hypersexualized education system in BC and the imposition on young children of various themes regarding sexual orientation and gender identity, which he has rightly identified, you, Barry, have rightly identified as child abuse. Barry's been in court more than once on these issues, including last fall, a trip to the Supreme Court of Canada in a defamation case regarding his freedom of speech. That decision was a tragic one, and it points to the political bias of our court system, including the Supreme Court of Canada. So, Barry, maybe we can start there, and you can help us understand a review of that case, what the decision was, where you are today in this highly charged atmosphere of politics, parental rights, human rights, and the era of transgender tyranny that has dominated the education systems of Canada.
When I first learned about the SOGI 123 program, it had been developed behind closed doors by a special interest group and had been secretly and quietly implemented as a pilot program around the province in grade 11 and 12. All I wanted was more discussion because I thought this gender fluid idea was going to confuse kids. It may help a few gender dysphoric children, but it would confuse the general population. And they had intentions of teaching this at every level, right from kindergarten right on through. But unfortunately, immediately the union tried to silence me, and the president of the union, Glenn Hansman, insulted and defamed me several times in the media. And at the urging of some friends, I decided that I needed to stand up to this bullying. All I wanted was a more broad-based discussion involving parents, mental health professionals, physicians, because it was only done organized by these radicals. So I sued Glenn Hansman for defamation. And I went on the offensive, in other words. Well, there was a new law just created in British Columbia. It was called anti-slap legislation. And Glenn Hansman made an application to the Supreme Court of British Columbia that he had a right to insult me because he was protecting a vulnerable group, and that was transgender children. And we went in front of a Supreme Court judge in Vancouver, and he had just been appointed by Justin Trudeau, had very little experience in the area, and he ruled in favor of Glenn Hansman. So we took it to the appeal court. This time we got three senior judges, and they relied on a recent decision from the Supreme Court of Canada, and they said Neufeld does have a right to sue for defamation. You can't silence people by calling them names. So I won that one. That was pretty good. And we were preparing to go back to square one to do the defamation suit when Glenn Hensman pulled another rabbit out of the hat and appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada. And which meant that we had to hire lawyers in Ottawa as well as go back to Ottawa ourselves. And I appeared in the Supreme Court just after Thanksgiving last October. My lawyer had 1 hour to say his piece. And he said, Barry, if they still believe in the rule of law, you're going to win. But if they're politically driven, woke judges, we're going to lose. Well, it didn't take us long to figure out that these judges were all woke. And there were 12, no less than 12 interveners. Those were organizations who hired a lawyer to argue in favor of Glenn Hensman. And it included EGALE, and it included Community, and it included even the Attorney General of British Columbia and other gay activist groups. They all had 15 minutes. They weren't in the courtroom. They appeared by video. The chief judge, Judge Wagner, I don't even think he was listening to any of the arguments. He looked like he was playing a video game on his tablet in front of him. There was a judge, Andromache Kerak at Sanis, and she asked the dumbest questions. I found out later that she has never actually fought in a courtroom. She's basically a political appointee. She was the one who ended up writing the 100-plus reasons of why they agreed with Hensman. And of course, the whole thing is that transgender people have been discriminated against. Well, I think we both know that nowadays, the transgender people are not being discriminated against. It's anybody who stands up to them gets persecuted. And they're the most powerful lobby group that we've ever seen in North America. And I don't know how that came about, but that's what we're faced with. I did want to say one thing about one dissenting judge, and that was Judge Côté. And Suzanne Côté, she sat on a appeal court in Quebec. She's very, obviously very experienced, and she asked some relevant questions. And she was appointed in 2014 before Justin Trudeau got in there and is starting to appoint people. It was Justice Côté who wrote the Supreme Court decision that the BC Supreme Court relied upon. And she kept pointing out the only thing in the 100 pages of reasons, the only thing that made sense was her three paragraphs that Barry Neufeld deserves his day in court and that he shouldn't be silenced by name calling. It's the only thing that makes sense. The rest of it was a roundabout, twisted and contorted. The other thing that kind of struck me about the Supreme Court was I flew to Ottawa on a crowded plane and there wasn't anybody wearing a mask. So we get off the plane and I go to the Supreme Court and it's on a huge piece of land. The front doors have been locked for 3 years because of COVID. So I went around to the back to a little small fire escape door and there was this huge security scanning machine there. It's more security than I've ever seen in an airport. And then we go down these long tunnels under this castle-like building. Oh, and we had to wear these really suffocating masks. Got into the courtroom. Now, to get into the courtroom, I had to apply. And I was accepted, and I told my son, who was coming with me, that he had to apply as well. Well, when he applied, they told him that the courtroom was full. They lied. There were seven judges, and they each had two court clerks, so there was 14 court clerks sitting at their laptops. Everybody was at least 12 feet apart, and they were all wearing their masks. And in the public gallery, there was only one other person. It was Clint Johnson. He's president, the current president of the BC Teachers Federation, and he lives in Chilliwack. He's my neighbor. There's lots of room in there, but they wouldn't let anybody in to watch.
Wow.
They're really trying to hush this up.
Yeah. And Barry, you told me when we had our last interview before the court decision was released that they did not allow you to have any interveners. You said they had 12
12 for Hansman. So this was a setup right from the beginning. They refused to let the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms have a say, and they refused to let Karen Litsky have a say. Karen has had a lot of experience with the BC Teachers Federation. She won a lawsuit against them a while back. But I was hoping that maybe ARPA could take part, but no, they wouldn't allow anybody to set foot in there and defend me.
That's
and they assume that this gender ideology helps transgender children. It doesn't. It makes it worse for them. It damages their bodies. The kids are not happy with the results when they go all the way. Jazz Jennings is perhaps the most notable one, because for years the school libraries had little books called I Am Jazz, and it told the story of this boy who turned into a girl. Jazz is so miserable now that it's unbelievable. And you look it up and you'll find that some pretty disgusting things that are happening with her body. Originally he a him, but now had all the surgeries trying to make that boy into a girl.
Which, of course, we know you cannot successfully. It never has been a boy that has been turned into a girl.
No, it's still an experimental surgery, and only quack doctors are willing to take the risk, and they're charging tremendous amounts of money. It's an experiment on our children. It's ruining a lot of lives. And you know what? Not only ruins the kids' lives, it ruins their parents. When a child comes home from school and said, my teacher told me that I might be a boy locked in a girl's body, the parent can't say anything, because if they try to argue with the kid will call them transphobic, go running back to the school and say, help, help, my parents are going to kill me, they're transphobic. And they're having children removed from God-fearing parents because the parents objected to their kids going on puberty blockers or hormones. It's deliberate attempt to subvert children and turn them against their parents. It not only turns them against their parents, it upsets the extended family as well, the aunts and uncles, the grandparents. This new person is in their family and they don't even know who they are anymore. Cute little Susie wants to turn into Billy.
Yeah. And I think that's where you first raised the ire of Glenn Hansman and the education establishment by referring to the SOGI program as child abuse. And you were so right when you said that. But they didn't take kindly to that.
No, they didn't. This was their pet project. And in the last 5 years, the pride theme has just gotten totally out of hand. Even law-abiding, respectable gays are appalled at this constantly shoving the rainbow in everybody's face, and the gay pride parades that are full of perversion, and they're called family-friendly. Kids are going to watch this stuff, and why don't they just leave the kids alone?
Yeah.
The other things that have come along at the same time, and it's part of the same package, and the package is critical theory. It's been taught in universities now for over a generation, and we don't realize that people under the age of 40 have been taught all this stuff, and they believe that in critical race theory, they're against, they're anti-colonialists. You can't, even a physician cannot tell an obese patient that they should lose weight. Because that's called fat shaming, and he could lose his license. There's just no end of nonsense that's being pushed in the public schools. And the only solution, as I see, is for us to start pushing for charter schools in BC. There's a lot of parents that are taking a chance and they're going to homeschool their kids from here on in. But that takes a lot of time and energy. There's about three or four charter schools in Alberta, and they're quite successful in the States. It gives parents a choice. They can choose a school that teaches the same values that they want their children to be brought up with.
Yeah. Of course, we believe in the Christian Heritage Party of Canada and the Christian Heritage Party of British Columbia, CHPBC. We believe that education dollars should follow the child and not be limited to the public schools. So there's so many dollars allocated for each child. If the parents want to homeschool, if they want to have a charter school or send them to a independent school of any sort, they should have access to those dollars as if the child were going to public school. And that would introduce competition. And I think the public schools would have to improve if they wanted to retain their grip on the vast majority of these children growing up today in British Columbia.
Well, the BC Teachers Federation is staunchly opposed to any choice, and that's a hill they die on. They do not want charter schools in British Columbia. And there's a recent report by the Fraser Institute just came out in the last couple of days where they said that parents should have the right to choose whether to pull their kids out of a school that pushes SOGI. Because in the last 5 years, academic scores have been plummeting in British Columbia, especially math. Now, this program was initially developed because it said that if these outlying groups of children, these gay and transgender children, if they feel welcomed and included, they'll do better academically. Well, they're not. And what's happening, I've told my supporters, listen, you got to really take a hard look at these budgets and figure out where the money's going, because the money's not going towards math and literacy. It's going to diversity, inclusion, and equity, which I think stands for DIE. Yeah. And they're pouring, you know, in Chilliwack, a community of about 100,000, we only have 6 full-time firemen. The rest of them are on call and part-time. You need 4 full-time firemen. You need 4 firemen to go into a burning house. Well, there's only 6 of them full-time. There's never 4 of them on duty at the same time. A couple of firemen show up at a fire and they hope others will show up in time to go in there. And in the same community, we have 23 full-time diversity and inclusion advisors in the school district, and they get paid about as much as a fireman. What's more important, people's lives or this diversity, inclusion, equity nonsense?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's that really hits the nail on the head. You know that, and of course, the quality of education, as you pointed out, is going down. What we think that we're paying teachers and administrators to help raising the next generation with skills, with math, literature, history skills, scientific skills, and instead they're getting this indoctrination. You know, G.K. Chesterton said back in the early part of the 20th century that a time will come when swords will be drawn to defend the principle that 2 + 2 = 4. And I think we're not far from that today.
That's right.
Yeah. So the Supreme Court case is over that, although there is a Supreme God who is over even the Supreme Court, and I think that they will be held accountable for the decisions
yes.
they're making. But you have some other court cases going that have not yet been resolved. What court cases are you still involved with today?
Well, I still have those human rights complaints hanging over my head. And the teachers and the support workers complained that I was a threat to the safety of their workers. And the first result of that, they made this complaint to the Human Rights Tribunal. And the school board made a ruling that I was not allowed to set foot in schools. Last year, I insisted on going to all the graduation ceremonies. They tried to throw me out, but I said I wasn't leaving and told them to call the cops. But so at least I showed up. But anyways, the Human Rights Tribunal, with all this diversity, inclusion, equity nonsense, They're totally backlogged. My hearing in front of the tribunal is December of 2024. And it's already been, I've been waiting 5 years.
5 years.
So anyways, we're making an application next week to the Supreme Court of Canada, asking the Supreme Court to toss this complaint out because it's been way too long.
Yeah.
And so that's coming up. Now, the last time I was on your show, I told about a new case that came up. Fellow trustee Karen Bondar sued me for defamation because I, in passing, mentioned that there was a striptease artist had been elected. She took offense at that. So we appeared back in February, and the judge would not make any decision. He said, I want to wait and see what happens to Barry Neufeld in the Supreme Court of Canada. Well, no, he can see, but she's not going to get a lot of help from the decision in my case, because basically they condoned a person slandering a publicly elected official. That when you, they said that when you run for office, you got to expect to get some pushback. So there's nothing in the Supreme Court decision that will help her. So we're moving that case out to the Chilliwack Courthouse. I think we probably got a date sometime in the late summer or fall. And why the Chilliwack Courthouse? Well, because the Chilliwack people are really interested and concerned why this person is on the board, because they are pushing absolutely disgusting books in primary schools. They just fall under the category of pornography. But children can go to a grade 3 library and learn how to properly do anal intercourse and a whole bunch of other stuff you don't even want to talk about on this show.
Wow.
And that's that, they're sexualizing kids. And it's because the leadership, the boards, are dominated by extremely progressive left-wing people who believe that sexualizing children is a good thing for them.
Amazing. What's the difference, Barry, between criminal charges and human rights complaints? These seem to be two levels or two areas of judgment that take place on citizens of Canada. And how do they interact, or how do they relate to one another?
Well, you really have to prove your case in criminal court. You got to have witnesses and you got to have facts. Human rights tribunals are all about feelings. And the people who sit on those panels are not trained judges. They're just activists. And some lawyers think that they're nothing but kangaroo courts, but they're scared to say that because they'll get criticized by the judiciary. But I think even the judiciary agree that these human rights tribunals are just a bunch of amateurs trying to play God.
Well, and often these human rights, the legislation regarding human rights is enacted when there are already laws, criminal laws against certain things. I mean, you're not allowed to assault someone and so on. So they're kind of creating another level of that where people can be accused without as much evidence, right?
Well, the Ministry of Education probably 10 years ago were urging our board to include sexual orientation in our list of anti-bullying tactics. They wanted us to mention that. And our response back then was, no, we don't need to pick out any specific victim group. Bullying is wrong for whatever reason.
Right.
But then in 2016, the provincial government added gender expression to the British Columbia Bill of Human Rights. And immediately there was a directive came out to all school boards that we had to specifically mention who not to bully. Kids with gender identity, kids with sexual orientation. And I have to admit that I was chair of the Education Policy Committee, and I sat as chair on that committee when we changed the wording to specify these groups. And when they added it in Victoria, the only member of the legislature that objected to it was Laurie Thronas. Yeah. And he warned that if you're going to add these in there, they're going to see it as an opportunity to promote their ideology. And right. They said, oh, no. So anyways, they had a vote. Laurie abstained from the vote, but it was passed unanimously to add gender identity into the BC Human Rights Code.
Yeah, similar to what took place federally with C4, when it finally passed, not one voice was raised against it. And of course, we have the tragedy of that, which makes it illegal for parents to counsel their children, their gender-confused children. So, Barry, we really appreciate you and grateful to know you. When your name first gained prominence as a school trustee in Chilliwack, you were virtually alone as a courageous individual, taking on the powerful school boards, the teachers' unions, provincial education minister, and BC's human rights apparatus. But in recent months, and I'm kind of encouraged by this, partly fueled by the Josh Alexander story out of Ontario, partly by the omnipresent drag shows and queer story hours, there's been a massive surge of outraged parents confronting their woke school boards and demanding a modicum of decency and sanity be returned to our education system. I think that your sacrifice as one of the first out of the gate, one of the first to call a spade, has served as a catalyst for parental involvement. But you've personally paid a big price as a canary in the coal mine. We thank you for it. But looking back, what is there anything you would have done differently, or do you stand on the statements that you've made and that you're concerned about what's happening in the school system?
Well, you know, what goes around comes around. The news reporter that was probably the most toxic was right here in my own community, Paul Henderson. And he's a very outspoken atheist. He was all for this gender stuff. And he could not resist any opportunity to slander me and say nasty things about me. So I told my lawyer, Paul Jaffe, I said, you know, I'd have a better chance of proving defamation if I went after Paul Henderson. And he said, don't worry about him. He hasn't got any money. We won't get any money out of him. But what goes around comes around. And on June the 1st, a little boy nearly drowned in Cultus Lake. And the parents were appealing for people to pray for their little boy. He was airlifted to the children's hospital. He was hanging on to life by a thread. And they were begging people to pray. And Paul Henderson got onto Twitter and he said, what a stupid thing to ask for. They're wasting their time asking for prayers. They should thank the first responders for getting the kid to the hospital. And he continued to insult their religious beliefs. That was June the 1st. On June the 2nd, Black Press announced that they had fired him. Now, of course, all the Christians assumed he was fired for those religious anti-religious remarks, but there wasn't enough time to investigate that to fire him. They had an ongoing investigation going for about a month, and it finally came to a head on June the 2nd, and they let him go. So I've managed to outlive him. Yes, there's been a few times when I've spoken a little harshly and used the wrong word, but my motivation all along has been to help confused and at-risk children, because they're so easily led astray. They're always looking for a quick fix, the silver bullet to solve all their problems. And teachers and teachers' assistants are telling all the kids that the quick fix to their problems is to change their gender. And it's tearing families apart. I'm concerned about the effect of the decision in my case on any Christian school teacher, Christian principal, or even Christian pastor who speaks out against Soji 123. They could be considered unfit to be around children, and that will certainly impact our schools. How are we doing for time? I had one short comment I wanted to make about the Chief Justice first.
Yes, please go ahead, Barry. We will take the time we need, so I'm so grateful to have this time with you.
Well, as I said, I noticed that Justice Wagner was not really paying attention to any of the arguments. So anyways, I looked up his biography, and he says, he brags that he's a passionate defender of the principle of judicial independence. And that is just not true, because back in 2019, he and the Minister of Justice, David Lametti, signed an accord to formalize the recognize the Supreme Court's full independence from the Federal Department of Justice. So that was in 2019. They agreed they've got to be independent. But what did they do? He obviously set this aside because he and Lametti got together and the two of them coordinated all the legal structures to promote vaccine passports, masking, and to make sure that all these laws would stick and they could sink pastors like Art Palowski and the others. That was not judicial independence. That was collusion among the two main lawmakers in our country to go after people who want to have a say about what they put into their bodies.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think he made even some very injudicious statements about the truckers. There was it wasn't at a court case. He made statements as Chief Justice, prior to hearing any case, and really took a stand, which is not what the Supreme Court is supposed to do ahead of a court case. It's supposed to be unbiased and impartial. So, speaking of court cases and court costs, you have had court costs in the past, and you are going to have more before all this is over. Is there a need for financial support? And if so, how can people help you with your ongoing legal battles?
Well, I definitely need more gas in the tank to go ahead against Karen Bonder. But as I said, if we win that case, we're going to ask for a sizable settlement, which may put me back back in the black. It's been a long time since I've studied a budget. I am going to tonight's school board meeting at 5:30. They're trying to push an awful lot of DIE agenda. I lost in the Supreme Court, and the court has the power to order damages. In other words, it probably cost Glenn Hansman $250,000 to bring his case all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. And he's probably going to be asking that I reimburse him for that. If the court grants that, I will be ruined. But I'm getting pretty close to the pearly gates anyway, so I don't need a lot of money to keep myself going. But on the other hand, my lawyer, Paul Jaffe, faithful and loyal, will argue that Hansman didn't pay for any of his legal fees. It was all covered by the BC Teachers Federation. Therefore, he should not be entitled to any compensation. And so we'll see how that goes. If people need to help me, I have a Give, Send, Go page. I accept email transfers, and I can even receive a check in the mail, and I would certainly appreciate any help that I could get. If it's okay, I'll share a screen with that information.
Yeah. Please go ahead and put the screen up, Barry.
There it is. Trustee Neufeld. That's trustee spelt with a Y. And or donate to my Give, Send, Go page. And or you can mail a check, whatever.
Well, very good. Excellent. And thank you so much, Barry, for joining us today. Once again, thank you for conducting this sometimes lonely battle. But I'm personally very grateful that you seem to have, as I mentioned, you're like the canary in a coal mine, but you have inspired others to take up the cause with you and with us and represent the legitimate needs of young children and of parents in our society today in the cause of justice and even the cause of education, because we think the kids are not getting a proper education now with all this emphasis on this created narrative. So thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being that being willing to stand alone, and when, sometimes when you stand alone, after a while, you won't have to, because other people will join you at when they are inspired by your example.
Well, I appreciate all the organizations that have risen up, and I'm not alone as a trustee. I know of one Christian school board chair in all of Canada, and that's Leanne Titi up in Kelowna. And she's supported by two other trustees, so they got three of them there. My colleague Heather Maas is still on the Chilliwack board, and Richard Procy, respected Christian businessman, was elected this time around. We appreciate him. And Abbotsford has three Christian. Corky Neufeld is a former pastor, and Jared White was very active with pro-life. And unfortunately, the third fellow's name escapes me right now. But so there are others. And I'm on a listserv of Christian school trustee candidates who are organizing together. And they've got the CBC all worried about this right-wing organization. And if you believe anything similar to what's written in the Bible, you're going to be classified as right-wing. I appreciate you constantly reminding people to put trust and faith in God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you very much. God bless you, and we'll stay in touch. Keep us updated on the progress in these various cases, and we wish you a wonderful summer and one free of these kind of distractions. You know, this takes a toll on a person, and thank you for being willing to pay that price.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye now.